Futures Radio Show, sponsored by CME Group, the world's leading and most diverse futures and options exchange. CME Group's markets help individuals and businesses around the world effectively manage risk. For access to free educational tools and resources for the active individual trader, please visit activetrader.cmegroup.com.
Every day, traders and investors dive in to tackle the ever-changing markets to find opportunity. Futures Radio Show is your number one source for answers to the questions that all market participants want to ask. Veteran futures trader Anthony Crudele sits down with the most influential leaders and top traders in the industry. Now, here's your host, Anthony Crudele.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in for this episode with Tommy Crouch. Remember, new shows are posted on Mondays and Thursdays. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes and YouTube. If you're enjoying the show, please leave a review on iTunes. Before I play today's interview for you, I want to give a shout out to the great sponsors of Futures Radio Show. CME Group, Trading Technologies, RJO Futures, and Top Step Trader. To learn more about these sponsors and the important things they are doing for futures traders, be sure to click on their logos on our website. Today, I spoke with longtime futures trader and head trader of TKC Investment Group, Tommy Crouch. Tommy was one of the very first hog traders back when CME listed the product in 1966. He shares with us the story and how he went from a hog buyer to a futures trader, his process for trading ag markets, and why over the past several years, he's become more of a spread trader. Tommy gives us insight on how he trades the ag markets. He explains why China and hogs are the biggest story in the ag space. And last but not least, he gives us his thoughts on the trade war and how it's impacting American farmers. So without further ado, let me take you right to the interview with Tommy. Tommy, you've been in the industry a long time. Man, talk to us about how you got started in futures.
Kind of an interesting story. I was a hog buyer for high-yield hog markets. And I think me and one of the guys, the only guy still alive that traded hogs the first day they traded on the CME. Mr. Heino was instrumental in getting the hog futures listed. And he wanted it to really work. So he got a bunch of us hog buyers to start trading hogs. A 20,000-pound contract, $200 margin. I started the first day they traded.
What year was that, Tommy?
You know, you're testing my memory. I think 1966 or 67. The only thing we traded was hogs, cattle, and bellies, and eggs.
Those were the only products at the CME?
At that time, yes.
And where actually was the CME located at that time? That was before
Franklin and Wells. Franklin and Wells.
Franklin
I'll never
and
forget
it. Yeah. So you were one of the first hog traders. Did you ever trade any futures or even really know much about futures prior to you coming in and trading the hogs?
I had traded a belly contract or two before then without any success. And I said, whoa, these hogs are right up my alley. I know about these. And make a long story short, in 1970, Harold asked me if I would come to Chicago and be his hog analyst. I asked him what was in it for me, and he said a membership. $60,000 for a farm boy as a hog buyer. I had my bags packed before I hung up the phone.
So you've been doing this a long time, obviously, and you started off. And you started off really on the fundamental side of things, so you really knew how the market worked for the hogs before you even got into, you know, the actual futures.
Sure.
So I'm going to make the assumption that a lot of your strategy is fundamentals, but talk to us about your strategy and what is your process for trading?
Anthony, if you don't understand fundamentals, you shouldn't be trading. You got to know what the fundamentals mean. As an example, I'll give you, we're looking at a 900 million bean carryover. We've never had more than like 400, 4.25. I don't know what the hell we're going to do with all these beans, but we got a mess on our hands. because we got too much carry over. That's a fundamental you got to pay attention to, those sort of things. I get up at 5 o'clock every morning. My Wall Street Journal comes at 5:30. I read every page in the Wall Street Journal, cleaning whatever I can that might have a market flavor to it. And I start making my calls to my sources about 7:30. And by 8 o'clock, I got a pretty good handle on what the hog market is and cattle market, and go from there.
Do you look at any charts?
If I saw one, I wouldn't know how to read it.
Really? So you don't look at them at all?
My favorite saying about chartists is the bottom of every ocean is shipwreck. There's a chartist. Now, listen, I don't mean to imply I don't look at overbought situations, oversold situations. I pay very close attention to open enters. Watch the money flow. These kids trading manage this money today. They just keep piling on long as it's working, going one direction. I'll give you an example. About 3 weeks ago, when we set our low in April hogs had 48% of the total open interest in the hog complex. I'd never seen that before, and I knew we had them caught.
So open interest is important to you, and you said
terribly.
And you keep an eye on overbought or oversold scenarios. Can you give us the metric for which you would consider overbought in hogs and oversold?
You know, you may think this is crazy, but it's a feel you have. You watch the volume and where the bottom is. The volume starting to lighten up in an overbought situation, same as an oversold. That means they're running out of bullets.
Well, let's walk through maybe a situation that you've come across as of late. Walk us through a scenario of a trade, and let's focus just on the entry and talk to us about what you were seeing in the fundamentals and then how you went about entering that trade, but also talk to us about how you determined a stop or an area where you felt that you would be wrong on your entry.
Well, again, it's knowing, you got to know market value. You got to know when the value of the futures isn't right. You got to know those things. I knew the value on April hogs when the funds were still piling into them. I knew that value was wrong. Did I go all in at one time? Not very often. I will step into it maybe with a third of a position. In these highly volatile markets, Anthony, I do things today I didn't ever do. I trade a lot of spreads because the volatility with these expanded limits that the exchange allows these funds to have. As an example, you have 6,500 hogs. Who in the hell needs 6,500 hogs except somebody that's losing their mind? But that's the exchange today. They make some money, so that's what they like. It can really get markets distorted. And right now, I'm in a hog spread that I love. Because I know the values wasn't right. I'm long June hogs, short October hogs. I put it on at $6.40, $6.40 premium to June. Why, my goodness, anybody thinks Junes aren't worth more than $6 over October, they shouldn't be trading. Those are the kind of things I look for. Market relationships, spread relationships, and take advantage of them.
A couple things. First, how did you determine that they were priced wrong? Was that an overbought or oversold scenario that you looked at an open interest? And secondly, I think you're using spreads so this way you could hedge your risk and stay within the trade a little bit longer, or are you doing
spread? That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah. As I said, these markets are so volatile. You look at the hogs, how many limit ups and limit downs, and gosh almighty, if you were outright one way or the other and wrong, you were out of business. So I try to find spreads that the value of the spread is wrong. And I just give an example. June hog 640 over October. That value is wrong.
How do you come to that determination?
Because I know that. 50 years of trading hogs.
Could you give me a little bit? I understand, obviously, a lot of what you're doing is feel for the market, understanding the fundamentals. But when you look at that spread that you're talking about, I guess what I'm looking for from you is, what is the market doing that is signaling to you that this is wrong versus your fundamentals?
Well, we got this average swine fever in China, and the market acts like, and some of the commentators act like, everybody in China is starving to death. Well, that's not the case. I have pretty good contacts in China. People got to realize per capita pork consumption in China has been going down for about 4 years. The middle class is eating healthier. They'll eat a lot more chicken. They prefer beef, and they can get beef out of Brazil. They get beef out of Australia. So the eating habits of the Chinese has changed quite a bit. Now, I don't mean to imply they're not going to be short of pork, but at what value will they buy it? How much will they buy? Those things I don't know yet. But you look at the prices that we got this market, and I'll tell you, boy, there's a lot of air under it if things don't go right. We got a pig crop coming out Thursday. I've heard some commentators say that the farmers lost some money raising hogs. They lost, that this is my feel. The hog farmer lost money, maybe, or broke even 3 months out of the last 3 years. The hog farmer's got more money than anybody in the agriculture right now. Than anybody. And he can stand a little rough time. But I'll give you an example. October hogs hedged here will make a producer $100 a head. $100 a head. Unheard of. What do you think of this hog farmer's doing? He's breeding every guild he can find. I'll give you an example to keep that in perspective. K-State says the 10-year average profit per head of feeding cattle is $18 a head. We're making $100 a head feeding the hog. That isn't going to work eventually.
So what I'm gathering is that your edge in what you're doing is identifying the fundamentals, looking at the whole picture. You're not just going and reading some report. You're looking at everything, and you're putting together a puzzle.
Every day. Every single morning.
How do you know when to cover a trade?
You mean take profit or take a loss?
Both.
There's three issues here. The hardest part of a trade, there's three phases of a trade. Doing your research and putting it on and to see if you're right. Once the market starts working for you, you add, stay with it. The hardest part of the trade is don't take profits too quick. You stay in there and get every penny you deserve because you did your work. That's the hard part of the trade. Now, conversely, if I'm wrong, manage the money. Get out. The market tells you you're wrong, get out.
Is there a percentage of capital that is just a threshold for you, or how does it work to where you just say, you know what, it's just not working?
Well, I know. Yeah, well, yeah, I say a percentage. No, not really, but you know when you're wrong. The market's going against you. The news isn't with you. You've made a mistake. Get the hell out of the way. Manage your money. Take your losses. The second hardest thing in trading commodities is taking losses. Hanging your ego at the door and say, I'm wrong.
Okay, well, talk to us about how you get out of a trade that's going your way. How do you know, like you said earlier, that these things run longer now? And maybe you've got something, you know, that could work to your advantage. How do you determine that?
Well, I think we all, when we put a trade on, I think if we're good fundamentals, we've done our research, we know what we're doing. I think we all know when we're about there.
And does that come into where you maybe look to see if things are overbought or oversold, and that could be also a situation that gets you out of a trade?
That might be part of it.
Talk to us a little bit about the fundamentals that you are seeing right now. I know you've already mentioned some, but what I want to do is hear what you think about the current fundamentals and then talk us through how you are looking at potential entries for the fundamentals you're currently seeing.
Well, you know, this is a really tough market in the hogs right now. Hogs are high. I mean, really high. We had a disease in this country a few years ago called PEDS. And we had a definite shortage of hogs in this country, and we got very high. And it lasted for about 4 months, 5 months, and then the things leveled out. We're not short of hogs in this country. Maybe the reason we're here is that China's short of hogs, and they probably are for a while. But what does that make the value of these hogs? I don't know that yet. I just know I love my spread. I know that June hogs probably go double digits over October, $10, $12, $14. When that happens, I'll probably get out and take my money and worry about the corn market and the bean market.
That was going to be my next question. Are you watching other markets for signs?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely. I have a rather large corn position on. I'm bullish corn, mainly because of this terrible spring we're having. We're going to lose 2 or 3 million acres of cropland that won't get planted, be prevented acres. Most of that will be corn acres. I think corn needs to rally, 15 to 30 cents somewhere in there. And I am short beans, but I haven't got a mother load yet. I'm poking at them. The wrong things happen. These beans will break a dollar.
So right now, what's the biggest story in the commodity space? Is it with China and the hogs?
Yes.
That's the biggest story. And like you said, that has an impact, not only the hogs, but what feeds the hogs and what else is impacted by
that?
Well,
example, Anthony, if China's truly lost as many hogs as they claim, some people say they have, then they don't need very many beans, do they? Because they don't need bean meal. So that's certainly going to affect the bean market. I think that the window's closing very fast for us to get anything done with China and the beans. But you want to understand, if they've lost X number of hogs over there, they need that less bean meal. So they need to buy that less soybeans from us.
And do you find that when you find one theme that's happening, like we talked about with China, that theme plays out into all of the markets you're looking at? Is it, or is each market have their own theme that's going on?
Well, I jokingly told a friend of mine this afternoon where these hogs are headed. Who's going to buy a $7 pork chop when you can buy a $7 T-bone? We will hurt domestic demand in this pork something terrible. Because we're not short of protein. We got a ton of cattle in this country. My Lord, we got chickens running out our ears. And you can buy a chicken breast for 98 cents. You buy chicken thighs for 77 cents. We're not going hungry in this country. But the consumer's going to have a lot of choices. And you get one item too high, they're going to suffer. And the pork will suffer if we get it too high for the domestic consumption.
Being a farmer, a question I have for you is, when you say that we're not short of protein, you know, I'm a city boy. I've never really been on a farm besides maybe a field trip, to be quite honest with you. And I know I'm not doing my due diligence in understanding where all the food comes from in this country. But when you say that we have a lot of supply, why are we so good at it now? Are we better at it now than we were in the past?
That is a great, great question. Wall Street Journal just had an article last week that in 47 days from the day the chicken is hatched, we can make him weigh 6 pounds. Used to be around 50 days, you'd make him weigh 3 pounds. We're so good at raising hogs, it's not uncommon at all for each sow to produce 30 pigs a year. Think of that. 30 pigs a year. The cattle, they still only have one a year, but the genetics in the cattle have improved so dramatically that it takes less feed. They get the weight quicker because of the genetics, and the same in the hogs. My goodness. A hog, 22 weeks from birth, can weigh 280 pounds. That's unheard of. You couldn't have done that 15, 20 years ago.
And I guess my follow-up is easy. How are they able to do that? Is that because of feeding, pumping them full of steroids and things like that?
No. We've got the animal bred to where he's so efficient. The sows have such big pigs, big litters, I should say. And the big producers have farrowing rooms, maternity rooms, and they have women in those rooms 24 hours a day, saving every pig the sow has. That pig's worth a lot of money in today's market.
That's incredible. It really is.
We're good at it. I mean, the American farmer is so good. We can produce so much more than this country can consume. So we got to have exports. And this trade thing is a disaster for the American farmer. There's going to be bankruptcies up the wazoo here if we don't get things straightened up. Grain farmers, I'm speaking of.
How do you see this trade war ending?
I don't know. The agriculture areas of this country voted for the president. If things don't improve, he won't get one vote from these farmers because they've about had enough. Now, I'm speaking of the guys raising grain, corn and bean guys. The cattle guy and the hog guys get along fine, as I already mentioned about hogs.
You run a CTA called TKC Investment Services. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, it's run through my broker's Capital Trading Group, Pat Lafferty. And they allocate all the trades. I pull the trigger on every trade, and they do the allocations. I trade my CTA just exactly like I trade my own account. I'm never long in one account and short in another account. My personal account won't be a mirror image of the positions in the CTA. I think another important thing to mention here, only trade what you know. You couldn't get me to trade an S&P or currency, or I don't know anything about them. I don't want to know. I'm good at what I do, and I'm not going to trade something I don't know anything about and lose money there. If I'm going to do that, I just want to go to Vegas and have a good time.
Great stuff, Tommy. We're not done yet. I have some rapid-fire questions if you're ready for those.
Shoot.
All right, everybody. Our rapid-fire segment is sponsored by Trading Technologies. Access to global markets from virtually anywhere with TT. They are the world's fastest commercially available futures trading platform. And now you can trade cryptocurrency spot and derivative markets side by side. For more information, please visit TradingTechnologies.com. First question for you, Tom. What trader has influenced your life the most and why?
Well, I had a very dear friend in the hog pit, smartest man I ever knew. His name was Terry McKay. He did all the spreads in the pits. He could do spreads and blindfolded. He was so quick. Mathematically, he had a master's degree from Michigan in mathematics. Very, very smart guy. One day I was caught in the market. I had a pretty good margin call, and I said, well, I'll just go make the margin call. And Terry says, let me tell you, give you one word of advice. Once you take that money out of here, don't you ever bring it back. Get out of the market. And I thought about that many, many times. Once that money's out of that market, don't you bring it back making margin calls. Get out.
What was one of the hardest things for you to overcome in trading?
Well, that's a loaded question, but learn to hang your ego at the door. Just because I know more about the hog index than most people trading hogs doesn't mean I can't be wrong.
How has your trading process evolved over the years?
Well, I think I touched on that. I trade a lot more spreads today. And if you watch carefully, the managed money gets spreads completely out of line. And you know, you can trade a pretty big number of spreads. And you make $3 or $4 on a spread because the money has got the spreads out of line. I do a lot of that. I also do a lot of outrights too, though.
What is one attribute that you believe every trader should have?
Discipline. And a good work ethic. You can't roll your ass out of bed and come down to the exchange 15 minutes before the opening and think you're going to go in there and make money with the big boys, because you won't do it.
What's your favorite book about trading?
I've never read one.
Favorite movie about trading?
I've never seen one about trading.
What's the best piece of advice that you've received about trading?
Manage your money.
If you could go back and give the younger you a piece of advice, what would it be?
Get rid of all the losers.
If you had an elevator pitch me your edge in trading, what would you say?
My edge?
Yeah.
Discipline. Work ethic. Getting out of bed. Getting prepared. Look. If you do your homework and you're not lazy, when you got a bed, you got a chance to hit a major league home run every day. What other business can you do that?
Last question for today, Tommy. What's your favorite thing to do when you're not trading?
Farming. I love farming.
Now, Tommy, normally I ask people what what their Twitter handle is on the show, I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that you don't have Twitter.
I don't have Twitter.
What about a website for the CTA?
You know what? I got one. It needs to be updated. But anything you want to know about the CTA or me, you call Pat Lafferty, Capital Trading Company. The phone number is 800-554-6290. Pat's known me a long time. He can fill you in.
Tommy, what can I say? It was an honor, my friend, to speak with you. Thank you so much for coming on Futures Radio Show.
I've enjoyed it.
Thank you for listening to Futures Radio Show. If you have any questions or comments for myself or my guests, please visit futuresradioshow.com and sign up to be a premium member for free. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes.